California congregation. He was determined to be at his best. After all, this was Easter Sunday, and you know there are going to be people there on Easter that you don't see all of the time. And there might even be people there who need to hear the gospel and need to respond to the message of a risen Jesus. As he was getting ready, back in 1932, he turned on his radio and he was listening as the service for a church in New York City began, and as a nationally known pastor began to preach his own Easter sermon. And this is what he heard that pastor say. He said, "Good morning. It's Easter Sunday. This is one of those Sundays when people debate what really happened on that first Easter day. Some people say that there was no physical resurrection of Christ. You know, people, it doesn't really make any difference to me whether Jesus was literally risen or not. As far as I'm concerned, his body could be dust in some lost Palestinian tomb. You see, it was not the man that mattered. It was the message." When he heard that, all that Ackley could think to say was, "That's a lie. It's just not true." If Jesus had not risen, then the four Gospels were wrong. There was no eternal hope for any soul. Unless Jesus truly rose from the dead, we have no reason to hope today. Later on that afternoon, after he had gone to his own church, after he proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus, Ackley sat down in his study and he read the story of the resurrection found in the Gospel of Mark. It's the same story we read together just a few moments ago. Inspired, he took out a piece of paper and he began to pen the words that would soon become a hymn. And it's a hymn that the church continues to sing almost 100 years later. This is what Alfred Ackley wrote. He wrote, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today." The Apostle Paul would agree with Alfred Ackley. In his day, just like in ours today, there were people who said they believed in what Jesus taught. They believed in what Jesus stood for, but they declared, "I just cannot believe that anyone can rise from the dead." These people surrounding Paul wanted to claim a faith without a resurrection, and Paul could not let that lie stand. And so in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul boldly declared, "You cannot have a living faith without an Easter hope." Listen to what the Bible declares in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19. "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." Paul said, it's important that we recognize your faith is useless unless there's a living Savior. Paul believed that. Ackley believed that. And I believe it as well. I believe that if there is no risen Savior, then all we're doing this morning is sitting in a room wasting our time, because there's no other reason we should be here. There's no reason our choir should have blessed us a few moments ago. There's no reason we should ever gather in a church to worship an idea and not a Savior. That's why it's so important for you to know that what Paul declared so boldly is true today. So let's talk about what we need to know if Christ is not risen. Paul would say this: if Christ is not risen, then we have no one to trust. The Bible says if Jesus didn't conquer the grave, then nothing else really matters. We don't have a message. We don't have a reason for hope. We don't have anyone that we can trust. After all, it doesn't matter if you say that you believe in Jesus, if the Jesus you believe in died 2,000 years ago and he continues to be lost to history today. The message without the man are only words. This is what we need to remember this morning. If Christ's life ended on the cross, then death wins. And nothing else matters. If everything that we know about Jesus Christ, everything that's contained in the Gospels, everything that the New Testament declares, everything that the church has always believed, if all of those things are based on a Jesus who died and remained dead, then none of it really matters. If he never left that Judean tomb, then what you think about him really isn't all that important. He's just one more name lost in the dusty pages of history. Jesus of Nazareth is no different from every other religious figure lost people embrace. Because a Christ who died and never rose again cannot offer eternal life or eternal hope. Unless your faith is built on a risen Savior, you have no one you can trust when it matters the most. If Christ is not risen, then you can't say, I believe in Jesus, I trust Jesus, I follow Jesus, because you're talking about somebody who lived a long time ago. And when his life ended, it was done. It's just not enough to say, I believe that he lived, and I believe that he died. In fact, Paul continues on and he says this: if Christ is not risen, then there's nothing worth believing. Without a risen Jesus, it doesn't matter what you believe about anything. Paul said it clearly. He said, we are found false witnesses of God because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, if indeed the dead do not rise. It's very simple. Take away the resurrection and the Christian faith collapses. Take away the resurrection and nothing we believe is important at all. There's nothing worth believing about Jesus if what the Bible teaches about the resurrection is a lie. People claim they can believe Jesus was a good moral teacher. After all, he had great parables that he taught and he gave good lessons about living. And after all, has anybody been the kind of teacher that Jesus was? The problem is, Jesus never claimed to be a moral teacher. He declared he was the Savior. Some could say he was one of the greatest men who ever lived, but Jesus called himself the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice. They can say he only pointed the way to heaven. But Jesus is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is the one who said he would lay down his life, but he also said, and I will take it up again. Because he did. If the Bible lied about Jesus, and if Jesus lied about himself, it would be wiser to believe in nothing at all if Christ is not risen. But Paul continued on, he said this, and if Christ is not risen, then you are unforgiven. He said it clearly, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Nothing has happened that could ever wipe away the iniquity of your life and your soul. Not one thing has removed an iota of sin from your life if Christ is not risen. Even if there were a heaven, a place where all the good people go when they die, that would mean nothing to you and me, because apart from Christ, you and I are not good people. In fact, nobody is. Remember what Romans 3:23 says? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has let him down. Every one of us has failed. Every one of us has committed sin, iniquity, trespasses, and all of the other ways that the Bible uses to describe people who have rebelled against God. And every time we rebelled against God, that sin, that stain, removed us further away from ever having any hope of eternal life. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but without a risen Savior, you don't have a snowball's chance of getting into heaven on your own. It's just not going to happen. You have no hope of forgiveness if Christ is not risen. You're chained to your sins. They're dragging you down. What does Corinthians say? It says, your faith is futile, useless, unnecessary. If Christ is not risen, Paul says, then everything is hopeless. The Bible states it clearly. Without the resurrection, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And that word translated perished means more than just death. It is a much stronger term. What it actually says is those who have fallen asleep in Christ have been pulverized, reduced to dust, atomized, completely annihilated. If there is no resurrection. In other words, life without a risen Savior is absolutely hopeless. I think about that kind of futility every time I hear somebody on television responding to some crisis or tragedy or heartache that someone is going through. And they always say something along these lines. So let's just think some positive thoughts for them. And I think, what good is that? What difference does it make? Either you have a reason for hope or you do not. Either Christ is all you depend upon or you perish. No wonder Paul wrote, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. The Bible says it clearly. If Christ is not risen, we have no one to trust, nothing to believe, no possibility of forgiveness, no hope of heaven. In other words, if Christ is not risen, we have nothing. We are most pitiable in all of the world. That would be true, except for that word. The biggest little word in the world. The word that means everything this Easter Sunday. And what is that little word? B-U-T. But. But now Christ is risen from the dead. All of those things would be true. But we would be without hope. But death would win in the end. But Christ is risen from the dead. And today we celebrate the fact that we truly do serve a risen Savior. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. Jesus rose again. He is the living Savior. He has claimed victory over death, hell, and the grave. He has opened the door to eternal life. Every promise God gave us has been fulfilled by the living, risen Lord. The testimony of Scripture is simple and easy to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And on this Easter Sunday, we recognize the fact that we celebrate a living Lord, that we are John 3:16 believers, because that's the truth. And Jesus is the one who died and rose that you and I might have everlasting life. And that's why it's my great privilege to declare to you this day that Jesus is risen, that he has opened the door to eternal life, and all you have to do is trust him. If I believe anything this Easter, I believe with all of my heart, it is this: we serve a living Savior. He lives. He lives. And so can you if you place your trust in Jesus. Today, I wonder if that's what you need to do in your own life. Is today the day when you need to surrender your life to Jesus? To recognize that it's not just important what he said, and it's not just important what he did. It's not even most important how he died. What is most important is he rose again. He destroyed death. And he opened the door for everlasting life to anyone and everyone who will place their personal faith in him. And maybe today that's you. And maybe today is the day when you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. I can't think of a better thing to do on Easter Sunday than give your heart to Jesus. Or maybe today God is calling you to be part of what he's doing in this church, a church that celebrates the risen Savior, a church that believes everything the Bible tells us is true. And maybe you need to be part of that kind of church. Maybe there's a decision you need to make because of what the Lord is doing in your own life. Just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. As God speaks to your heart, this is your day. You come, trust him today. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Be seated again just for a moment. James, you come up here and stand with me. Today is a wonderful time. Turn around and look at these folks, James. Today is a wonderful day in James's life. A few weeks ago, I had one of those wonderful experiences that I love to have, where what I do is just the period at the end of the sentence, because James was talking to his mom and dad, his family, about giving his life to Jesus. He thought about what Jesus did for him on the cross, and how much he wanted to trust him as Savior. And today he comes making his profession of faith in Jesus and ready to follow him in baptism and then live for him for the rest of his life. And this is really exciting because the family got to be part of this. Luke got to help him as he prayed his prayer. He waited for Jack to get home so he could be here for Easter Sunday. And today he comes to let you know Jesus is the Savior of your life, isn't he, James? And you've trusted him, and you're going to live for him. If you want James to know how excited you are about this decision, you say amen.
Amen.
James, that's the whole church saying that they're excited about what Jesus has done in your life, and they're ready to help you as you grow in Christ. I'm going to ask his mom and dad to come and stand with him. And in just a moment, they're going to help him to go out into the lobby, and you'll be able to come by and just let him know how glad you are that on this Easter Sunday, he took his stand for Jesus, and he's going to live for him. And we're so excited about that. All right, let's stand together again. David and Jennifer, y'all go with James. Y'all go ahead and go out to the lobby. Let's pray together, and after that, one final song. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for what you've done in James's life. Lord, thank you that he trusted Jesus as Savior. Lord, thank you that the first people he thought about turning to trust Christ were his parents and his family. And Father, we're so grateful for that. And Father, so grateful to be his church family. We've watched him from the day he was born. And we continue to watch him as Jesus does his work in James's life. And we thank you, Lord, for this Easter celebration. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we've had of worshiping together, but more than that, to recognize Christ is risen from the dead. And that makes all of the difference. So bless us, Lord, as we go from here to bear witness to the one who saved us and loved us and has given us eternal life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.